I'd like to thank all the organizers for pulling together this first Region 7 Zoom convention. It's been wonderful so far. Also, thank you to my co-hosts, Sherry and Cynthia, and thank you all of you for joining in. My name is Rena. I'm a compulsive overeater and relapse survivor. My topic today is steps 4 and 5. These are steps about writing and sharing, and we will be doing some writing today. So please bring and find some pen and paper. Also, we're going to be sharing today. First, I'm going to qualify. I have a genetic illness, a reaction to sugar and other foods that drives overconsumption. Science supports a genetic factor in sugar addiction, especially with alcoholism in the family. Also, I'm sensitive to wheat and dairy, as some other members of my family are as well. Part of the adverse response to eating these foods is that they make me feel calm. So I eat them, I feel calm in the short term, but it contributes to rebound anxiety, and then I have cravings, I overeat, and eventually I became obese. How early did this show up? At the age of 2. I was 2 years old. My mother had to take me off of whole milk because given the choice between consuming whole milk and anything else, I would only choose the whole milk. So over time, I expanded my food preferences and to what came to be known as the 4 major food groups, which was sugar, flour, chocolate, and milk fat. And the best foods had all 4. By the time I was age 12, I was 5 inches taller than all of my friends. And I was appalled at the fact that I weighed 30 pounds more than they did. So I started to restrict. For those of you who are old enough to remember this, this was the era of Twiggy. I would skip breakfast and lunch, and then I would have my lunch money to go to the dessert store and eat the 4 major food groups. I knew by my early 20s, I read a book on food addiction. I knew I had a problem with sugar. And what did that knowledge avail me? Of course, that knowledge availed me nothing. I continued to overeat. The big book on page 39 says this, quote, "The actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. This is a point we wish to emphasize and reemphasize to smash home upon our alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience." And that's the way it was for me. You'll meet a lot of people in program who were able to go on a diet and lose weight, and I could not. For me, I could fast, I could eat, and there was very little in between. Before program, food was my higher power. It was my refuge in times of anxiety. One package had one serving, and it didn't really matter how large the package was. The joke was in our family, a pan of brownies, this was one serving. And when my niece was able to eat one brownie, we had some considerable discussion about what her true parentage was, because surely she was not related to the rest of us. Binge foods in my house didn't make it through the night. What I would do is I would go to a bakery, I would consume enough baked goods for a family, and if that did not resolve my distress, then I would go to another bakery and eat enough baked goods for a family. Because after all, if I consumed enough baked goods for 2 families at one bakery, then what would people think? In 1987, my sister asked me to be the maid of honor at her wedding. And I had a year to grow out my hair, to find a dress in my best color, to look fabulous at her wedding, and I didn't procrastinate. I did everything I could. A week before the wedding, the only thing I had left to do was to lose 40 pounds. And when the wedding photographs came out, that was my impetus to finally get to OA, because no matter what, I couldn't do it. I worked the 5 steps, I gave up sugar and flour, and I lost weight. My life got busy, and I thought, well, I could do this on my own, and of course, all of you know how that turned out. During a seven-year relapse, I regained the weight with interest. I learned from that relapse that I have a disease I learned that I have a disease that requires being an active member of the fellowship. So when I moved to OA in 2002, when I moved to New Jersey, sorry, in 2002, I rejoined OA and I haven't left. I'm active in program. I have a sponsor. I have sponsees. I go to at least one meeting a week. The goal is three. And I attend, a retreat or a convention every year. The goal is two. I don't stay abstinent today. I stay abstinent today because I have learned my lesson. I have learned that when I eat sugar or indeed any of the four major food groups and I stop eating it, I'm going to go through withdrawal. Nasty withdrawal will last for at least 3 days. And minor withdrawal will be for at least a month, and I will have cravings for months after that. I have learned that there is no food that tastes so good for a minute or 10 minutes that's going to justify my going through withdrawal and cravings for a much longer period. I've been abstinent now for 15 years, maintaining 55-pound weight loss. I no longer have any interest in the four major food groups. As the Big Book says, on page 84, I recoil from them as if from a hot flame. I can turn away from them in the same way that I would turn away from eating peanuts if I had a peanut allergy. So now about steps 4 and 5. The most important thing about step 4, in my opinion, just do it. Just do it. We overeaters are often perfectionists and we seek to postpone doing step 4 until we can do it perfectly. If I don't do it perfectly, it's not worth doing. I will feel bad about myself because I didn't do it perfectly. Just do it. Don't postpone it. Don't worry about being perfect, because here's the secret. You're going to do it more than just once. So step 4 made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. When I first came to OA in 1988, we did not have the OA 12 and 12. We used the AA Big Book. We used the AA 12 and 12. My first attempt at step 4, and this is how I did it. Over the period of a few months, I wrote a chronological history of my transgressions in a spiral notebook. And when I was done, I read it to my sponsor, and that was my first step 4. Second time, I used a small book that OA no longer publishes. And this was a guide to doing step 4 using the questions from step 4 in the OA 12 and 12. So this is another way to do it. If you have the OA 12 and 12, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, the book. You take a spiral notebook, write down each of the questions that are listed in step 4 and answer the question. The way I did it, I set a 15-minute limit to do this every day using a timer, and I finished it in a few months, and then I read it to my sponsor as step 5. The third time I did step 4, I used forms from oabigbook.info. This is a website. It is not an official OA source, but it's still out there. These are based on the Big Book. The fourth time I did this, again, I used the forms, but I was having trouble having the discipline to do it at home. I would procrastinate. I knew I would do better with support, and especially I knew I would do better if I didn't have the phone with me. So I attended an OA meeting at 10 a.m. And what I did was I arranged to have a meeting after that, which would be a step 4 writing meeting. So we did this for several weeks. And the sole purpose of that meeting was for all of us to sit around a table and write our fourth steps for 1 hour, one day each week. And that worked for me. And it worked for the other people. So that's an option for people who have trouble doing it alone. You can get a team of people and do it with them. Today, we don't have to use any of those approaches. Today, we have forms from the OA Big Book, the 12-step workshop and study guide, which is available on oa.org. Again, oa.org, you go to the bookstore. Even during a pandemic, you can get it. Stacy, I'd like to ask you to put the form pages up on the screen.
Give me 1 second.
Okay, so I'm going to read this because most people will be seeing this on, or be getting this from a recording, right? So the first one is a resentments worksheet. And this worksheet has 5 columns. The first column is people, institutions, principles I resent. The second column, why. Third column, what aspect of self is hurt or threatened? And there are 5 mini columns within this third column. Ambition, pride, relationships, security, and self-esteem. Then the fourth column, in my experience, this is the most important column. What is my part in this resentment? Which they say, what is my part in creating this situation? Always look hard at that. I find that my greatest resentments are resentments where I have a major part in it. Finally, the fifth column, what character defect or trait triggers my reaction? And we have 7 sub-columns here. Dishonesty, expectations, greed, greed, envy, fear, low self-esteem, self-centeredness, and other. Again, this is page 51 in the 12-step workshop and study guide. And the big book says about resentments, this is starting on page 64, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we put them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we are angry. And I recommend to my sponsees also that many of them have deep resentments against God. I recommend that they put God on their resentments list too. Going back to the quote from page 64, we asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened, and so forth. So then on page 67, again, the key thing, putting out of our minds the wrongs others we had done, we looked resolutely for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? So these are all things to think about when you're doing the resentments. Again, look carefully at what was my part in the resentment, because I find that when I'm ticked off about something, if I had nothing to do with it, I can let it go pretty easily. But if I had some part in it, then I'm pretty annoyed. The next page. This is the strengths worksheet, page 58. No matter how many problems we have, each of us also has positive characteristics. It's important that we recognize them at some point during the inventory process. So this worksheet has 2 columns. First column, I recognize and value about myself. And then you're going to list the things you recognize and value about yourself, your strengths. And then the second column, you have examples. Next form. The next form is the fears worksheet. So this is a really probably the second most important part of doing your fourth step. 6 columns. The first column, who or what am I afraid of? Second column, why? Third column, what aspect of self feels threatened? And here we have 5 subcolumns: ambition, pride, relationships, security, self-esteem. Fourth column, what is my part in creating or maintaining the situation? 5, what character trait/defect triggers my action? 6, what would my higher power have me be? So that gets back to the fear prayer. God, please remove my fear and let me know what you would have me be. Next page. So the next page is the sex conduct worksheet. 7 columns. Who did I hurt? Second column, was I selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate? Third column, did I unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, bitterness? Fourth column, who else was hurt, if anyone? Fifth column, what character defect / trait triggered my action? Was it dishonesty, expectations, greed, envy, jealousy, fear, low self-esteem, self-centeredness, or others? Six, how was I at fault? Seven, in the future, what will I be doing differently? Next worksheet. This is from page 78. Harms, guilt, and remorse worksheet. Four columns. Who or what did I harm? Two, what did I do or fail to do? Three, what aspect of self did I seek to protect or benefit? Was it ambition, pride, relationships, security, or self-esteem? Four, what character defect or trait triggered my action? Was it dishonesty, expectations, greed or envy, fear, low self-esteem, self-centeredness, or other? Next, page 89, other problem areas worksheet. Our past problems have been controlling our actions and feelings for years, often in ways of which we are not aware. So here you list these problems in the first column. You list the behaviors. So column one, these behaviors create problems in my life. Two, what aspect of self am I seeking to protect or benefit? Is it ambition, pride, relationships, security, or self-esteem? Three, what character defect or trait triggers my action? Is it dishonesty, expectations, greed / envy, fear, low self-esteem, self-centeredness, or other? And four, what behavior would be more constructive? That's page 89. And lastly is what we're going to work on today. So here I'd like this to be left up on the screen. But for those of you who are participating by phone and don't have Aspect, I'd like you to take access to the image. I'd like you to take a piece of paper and divide it horizontally in three columns. The first column, the old belief about myself. Again, the first column, the old belief about myself. The second column, what happens because of it? The third column, new truth. So what we say in this discussion about this worksheet, working this program helps me distinguish what I no longer need from what is important, to cut away old beliefs so that new truths may be revealed and a light and useful spirit may grow strong. That's from For Today, page 265. Okay, I'm gonna repeat this one more time. The first column is old belief about myself. The second column, what happens because of it. The third column, the new truth that may be revealed. So I'm going to set a timer now for 8 minutes, and I'm going to ask everyone to write on this worksheet. Hey, Stacy, please start recording. Great, thank you. Returning to the most important thing about step four, which is to just do it. I really like using a timer because it's such a big project that if I try and think I can do it all in a day, it'll just make me crazy. So I pray for direction when I have to do a difficult task. How much time can I allot to this task? I set a goal, however small. If I can do 5 minutes on it, fine. I do that, I meet the goal, I repeat it the next day. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I have always done step five with a sponsor. People use other folks, trustworthy friends, trustworthy spiritual advisors. Again, ask God who it is that you should give step four to.
I'm just going to interrupt. Do you need this sheets up on the screen still?
No, you could take that down.
Okay. Just so
thank
people
you.
Can see you.
That's yeah. Fine. Okay. All right. When I am receiving a fifth step, my prayer to God, please let me know what to say and help me talk less. So I wanted to end with the conclusion of the first part of the big book, which is on page 64. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. That's, you know, steps 1, 2, and 3. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. That's step 4 and 5. Clear out the wreckage of your past. That is step 9. Give freely of what you find and join us. So mostly step 12. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. So that concludes what I had prepared for you.